Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about a classic for our counterpart here, someone who loves it. Something I've seen before, though couldn't really remember it being broken up into three seasons like it actually was. Apparently was. Tokyo Ghoul.
Yeah, wait, it was broken into three seasons for you?
It's three separate seasons, yeah.
I wonder, okay, so I watched the first complete season.
12 yeah. Episodes. Yeah, okay, good. We're there together so far. So you have Tokyo Ghoul Root, which is the second season, and then you have Tokyo Ghoul Re, which is the third.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Don't freak me out here, all right? Start talking about time traveling vampire slayers and everything else, time traveling granddaughters. Yeah, right? I mean, that's the last thing I need. I don't need that. My heart.
There's my heart, some vampires in there, I'm sure. Really can't. There's gotta be.
But, well, I mean, like, technically, I mean, like, they just call them cannibals, but yes, technically.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, there's, I still don't know what they are, because they're not vampires. They're inhuman. They live side by side.
Well, I mean, like, they're ghouls. They call them ghouls. We know them as ghouls.
Did you watch the movie or no?
No, I just watched the series, man. What?
Okay, I'm just saying.
Why would you this to me?
I'm just saying. There's more.
I know there's more. There's a lot more. There's so much more. I mean, like, they even have spinoffs. All right.
Yeah.
They have Tokyo Ghoul Jack, and then they have Tokyo Ghoul Pinto.
So, oh, dear Lord. Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, I know there's more. Don't do this to me. Don't talk about things I don't know about. I don't ask for a lot. I just ask for the world to be just right.
Just this once.
Just once. Look, I don't ask for a lot. I really don't. Do I want the world? Yes. Is that so much to ask for? I don't think so.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. So what? So you said you saw this before, yeah?
Yeah, a long time ago, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
As it was coming out kind of thing, or?
Probably. So it came out July 2014 and ran through September 2014. Producers for it are Marvelous, AQL, TC Entertainment. Studio for it was Studio Parrot. Source is a manga. Genres are action, mystery, horror, psychological, supernatural, drama, seinen, and cannibalism. I would throw that in there too.
Yeah.
And yeah. Maybe some self cannibalism, because people be weird. But whatever. That's digressing. Going off the point for Shu. Dude's weird anyways in and of itself. So one of the things I really enjoyed about the show, one of the things that I thought was really done well, is you see that progression from someone who was not a ghoul into mm-hmm. someone who's mostly a ghoul now, or a ghoul now, I should say.
See, I saw it as someone fighting against himself until he goes insane.
Well, it's not so much that he's fighting against himself until he goes insane. He's coming to terms with the fact that he is a ghoul now. And we're talking about the main character, Ken. And he has that freak accident in the very beginning. Now, it's a freak accident. I'm using air quotes for that because there are some conjectures saying that it wasn't an accident, that someone actually meant to kill the person he was with, which is Risa or Rise.
So you think he might not have been the target originally? He was just a bystander, an unfortunate bystander that just happened to have
been in the same area as her. Yeah,
I guess her unlucky victim turned benefactor.
Yeah, basically. I mean, at least for the first season, which is the one that I've seen. I haven't seen the other two. I've only seen the first season. All right.
I've seen them all. I've seen
only seen the first season. So
we're only talking about the mind. First season. We're only so I just so we're
if
clear.
You, so if you reference things in like season two and everything, just, I am going to be lost and I'm not going to know what you're talking about. And if you start referencing things that like time traveling granddaughters, I'm still going to be just as lost. I'm not going to know what you're talking about. So I ask you, if you go off the cusp, at least clarify so I'm not so confused. So this hasn't happened, but just so you know, in season four that hasn't come out yet, this is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Cool story, bro. What? Yeah. I mean, like, I'm missing two seasons still, but you know what? It's all right. So,
just to clarify, in my opinion,
yeah.
And God bless my opinion,
yes.
Season one ends on a very high note.
Oh, yes.
And when season two starts, it maintains that energy. We'll talk about that later.
So, but I saw the first few minutes of season two for episode one because mm-hmm. it's autoplay. And I was like, this is great. I mean, like, this is great. It maintained it like right there, picked up right where it left off.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I will say season three doesn't. Season three sucks. Well, it doesn't suck in the sense of so season one into season two, flawless. Wonderful, amazing. Season two into season three, I stopped watching season three. Like,
so you
halfway
haven't seen through. All of season three.
Correct. But I stopped watching because it didn't live up to the history of what I was expecting.
Okay.
And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's because I wasn't expecting it, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
It was like a time skip with just dumbness thrown in plot. Anyway, who's your favorite character in this whole thing? You don't have to say their names because I'm horrible with names. I'm absolutely atrocious with names, but characteristics.
Oh man. I don't know. That's a pretty good question about who my favorite character would be. I don't know. But what I will tell you, who I did not like, although I can understand all the screaming for the very first few episodes, although I got tired pretty quick after the first episode, was Ken. I did not like him for the better part. I understand why he was screaming and crying and moaning all the time. I get it. I do understand. Can't eat, he's freaking out, shoveling food in his mouth. It tastes horrible. He's throwing up, gagging, all that other stuff. Just so nasty to him all the time. He can't do it. Goals, very, very unique characteristic traits. Can't eat our food. Makes him sick. Weakens him. It also tastes like crap to them. Horrible. Nasty. Disgusting food.
Except for
human flesh and coffee, which is something I know a couple of people that absolutely hate coffee. I know some people that love coffee, like myself. I love coffee. If I could have coffee right now, this very second, I would, but I don't think anyone wants to hear me slurp on some coffee.
That'd be one heck of an intro. Just
right. Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe I'll start doing that for the live show. That's how it's going to be introduced. You're just going to have some random slurps to coffee now.
2.5 minutes is just straight slurping for no apparent reason.
But
stream starting soon. That's
but
the music.
I get it, right? I get why he was screaming, why he was crying, why it was like so hard for him.
He was breaking.
I like the progression for it. He is panicking and he's yelling and everything. My one bugaboo about the whole thing is he lives in an apartment complex. Why the hell didn't his neighbors, after hearing him scream and cry and yell for several minutes, not call the cops? I mean, like, you could tell those are screams of sheer panic, terror, horror, and pain all at the same time. It's like
you don't know what kind of freaky stuff goes on in that apartment complex.
You know what? That is very true. I don't. You know what? They could have been hearing it and just been like, oh, you know what, Ken's normal invited Friday night for him.
Yeah. Well, so if you think about it, everything seemed almost preordained with this kid. Almost like he was targeted for a particular reason. And
I know that they kind of allude to later on in the season, because they say he was basically the subject of an experiment.
Of some stupidly strong person.
Yes.
Like, and in this world, power is, so might makes right. If you're strong enough to enforce your will, it is the will of the area. If you roll onto somebody's turf, if you will, and you're weaker than them, they are allowed to kill you. They're allowed. But conversely, if you roll onto someone's property and you are just beefier than they are, you are able to tank anything they've got and dish it back out. Your rules go. They just lost their territory temporarily while you're there. And if you want to feed on their property, so to speak, you can with impunity because they can't do anything about it. Even if they all band together, there's a loose set of rules that enforcers come in and enforce, I guess, which is why our main protagonist or Ken got his abilities, because his his predator, so to speak, the person who was hunting him, had a record of hunting in the wrong places and had people after her. Now, what confuses me the most out of everything is why specifically him? Because you're right. As you go through the thing, it's alluded and it's hinted at that he was chosen, you know,
to be
but
a
who
part
was
of
he
it.
Chosen by?
They said the doctor's name and I don't remember who.
It ended up being inconsequential, but yeah.
Well, yeah, for the first season, yeah. I mean, because you don't know who the doctor's name is, and they only say it the one time. But, I mean, what's interesting, and this is something that really kind of comes out when you're watching it, especially at this last season, it talks about how his healing factor is just
crazy,
off the charts. And then you finally see it, too. It's like his leg just... like magic, just is poof, it's there, it's good.
Yeah. Well, technically, her healing factor, the person he assumes healing factor, is crazy good. Now, from what I understand, a one-eyed ghoul is a mixture of ghoul and human going together, and the human gets the property of the ghoul. However, they're slightly stronger because the ghoul needs to consume... This is just conjecture, but the ghoul needs to consume human flesh to survive. If the ghoul is implanted into a human, the flesh is already there, constantly feeding, constantly nutrient, and constantly giving it nutrients. While yes, you have to consume human flesh in order to continue, your core being is still human. And okay. It kind of leads me to believe that the reason the one-eyed ghoul is so strong and is able just to kick ass is because it's almost like the ghoul side of him was constantly feeding. You know what I mean? Like the ghouls are strongest after a meal. The food is always present in that particular example. It's just an idea that I had a while ago that makes way more sense than anything else I can think of. Because at the end, Ken was able to kill the person who killed his ghoul. So,
killed his ghoul?
Yeah, so the chick inside of him.
He didn't kill her.
No. So what do you mean he didn't kill her? Like Frankenstein, the crazy dude, the breaking of the finger dude.
Yeah, he didn't kill her.
I thought he did. I thought he threw the building on top of her.
No, they were saying that it wasn't him because he didn't have the clippers anymore. He had disappeared, and that's why he was looking for her, and he smelled her on Ken. And we're talking about a side character named Jason, or called Jason. His name is something else, mainly because he wears a Jason Friday the 13th mask. anyways, he was still looking for her. So you know that she is either alive and we don't know about it, or...
he believes she survived by being implanted into him.
Right. Or he knows that she's dead or thinks she's dead. We'll assume that she's dead because that's to our knowledge she is, unless something comes up later on. And he's going to kill Ken because, one, he's just sick in the head and just wants to torture and kill him. And what's interesting is Jason, he puts every ghoul through the exact same torture he went through and forces them to break.
It's
just
crazy
before killing him.
So imagine this. You have hyper regenerative abilities, and this psychopath comes by and chops off your fingers, knuckle by knuckle.
And your toes.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and then once he's done with that, he works on your toes. And then he comes back once you're all healed up, because you're going to heal, only to do it again.
And while he's doing that, you have to count backwards from 1,000 by 7. By 7.
Yeah, I was going to say, by a factor of 7.
And what's interesting is Ken even comments on this. He goes, I now understand why he wants you to do this. It forces you to keep your sanity. It forces you to keep your mentality about you, because then you're focused on the numbers while that's happening, and you're not allowed to just completely break.
Why do you think that is? Why are you not allowed to break?
Because he derives joy and pleasure from it.
Exactly.
Like what happened to him, because it was the same thing. What he does to everyone else happens to him, and or happened to him. Granted, I mean, like you're given the appearance of him actually finally meeting his end and dying at the end of the series or season one. But you know, by basically he created a monster, forcing them to finally come to terms with the reality of what's actually happening, and for them to, you know, just finally snap like him.
But did he snap though? Like, yeah, he's kind of crazy, but he's methodical when it comes to his crazy.
Yeah.
Who do you think was in charge of him? Jason? Yeah. Who do you think broke him?
That is a great question. I don't
know. Perhaps the doctor?
Oh, it could have been the doctor. It could have been the same doctor that just did the testing and everything like that until he finally broke and broke out. I mean, like, I would not put it past that that's actually what happened. I mean, like, if the doctor is crazy enough to actually go through and implant organs into people randomly.
Now, I do have a question with that. What do you think? If he put different organs into different people, could you make more of the one-eyed ghoul?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if he... So, like, Riz has, like, crazy healing capabilities. Yeah. And this is why I'm saying we are going to assume she's dead. She has crazy healing capabilities. What if she's still alive? What if she's still alive, being kept alive by said doctor, chained up, locked up somewhere, and he's harvesting organs out of her? And what if all these other one-eyed ghouls are actually made from that doctor, harvesting organs from her and implanting it into them? What if there's a whole army of one-eyed ghouls out there being created for this specific reason? Just
it would be incredibly dangerous to be the best, because now your best just made another 50 people with your organs. This one has your liver. Feel bad because you drank so much. This one's got your heart. This one's got your fingertips. This one,
right?
The list goes on and on. So, and what part of you has to be part of them in order to go through the process?
So that's why I say, you know, he's got crazy healing. And if it's actually based off of her and she has crazy healing, it's not that crazy to think that she's actually still alive somewhere.
Yeah. Who is he talking to then? His broken psyche? The very last chapter?
Yeah. Well, she's always been there in his mind, like trying to take over his body too at the same time.
I don't know. Seems a little too convoluted if you go into that. If you'll notice, every time someone attacks, there's these things on their back that their power erupts from, essentially. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you're just able to take that part off of them, put it on somebody else.
Probably. I mean, they're able to be harvested once they're killed.
And turned into what?
Weapons by the investigators, remember?
Yeah. God, the investigators.
Which I could have sworn that Mudo?
One of them.
The white guy with the white hair.
Yeah.
Dude, I could have sworn that guy was drawing a blank, a ghoul. There we go.
I could have sworn he was the thing he was attacking.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, his daughter was taken by ghouls, which is where his hatred comes from. But yeah, I could see that. I don't know. He seemed too evil, straightforwardly evil to be a ghoul. You know, his partner, however, young as he was, I believed that. I believed that his partner was the co-conspirator, the ghoul. I thought he was just, you know, I thought of him as like a tenured professor, someone who knew a lot, someone who's been there a while, and just due to weak individual ability, was put on the back burner in lieu of somebody popping up with better abilities, I guess, more adaptable abilities, if you will.
Yeah, I guess. But at the same time, when his partner graduated the academy, he was like the top of everything. And he obviously has a very strong hatred for ghouls.
Yeah. Understatement of the year.
I know there's two more seasons. I'm looking forward to the two more seasons that'll be coming out.
If you had to choose, would you rather be a ghoul or a ghoul hunter?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, you know what? I mean, like, I honestly, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I really couldn't tell you. If I had to choose, I would probably choose the half breed, like Ken.
Really? Okay. Why?
Simply because I'd want to know what everything used to taste like, just so that way I don't always have to wonder.
Oh, that's horrific. That's one of those, it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Are you really sure about that?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't know what you're missing, you're not going to miss it. You'll miss the idea of it. But let's say I gave you this, let's call it Egyptian.
Let's call it empanadas. Let's go.
Oh, that's mean. That's mean. I was going to use bed sheets for this one. I was going to say Egyptian cotton, 30,000 count or 3,000 thread count, whatever. If I gave that to you to sleep on for 2 weeks and then I'm like, all right, now go to your burlap sack for the rest of your life. That's what I'm thinking it's like.
I would have the memory of those nice sheets to get me through the rest of my life of crap.
As you're scraping your back and just destroying it with the burlap sack and just every movement. Yeah,
exactly.
In your deepest dreams, you're still in that beautiful Egyptian cotton.
Exactly. Hey, the memories will help sustain. That's the important thing.
Sustain or torture?
Sustain.
Okay.
Sustain. All right. Well, I think we're coming up to the end. So a scale of up to 10 for season one, sir. How would you rate this?
For season one, it was action packed. It was a very original, in my opinion, story. Fascinating. The bad guys who were trying to kill you early on became your best friends, basically. Your best friend, loyal to a freaking fault.
Right? I mean, like, that's kind of like our relationship, a little bit.
Yeah?
I mean, that's, that, you know, honestly, if I have to choose a favorite character, like what you asked me at the very beginning, if I have to choose a favorite character, I'm actually going to choose him.
Yeah, yeah, because no matter how hard Ken pushed him away, he was always like, bro, I'm here. Like, you can't get rid of me. You're going through some shit. You're not telling me. You're not getting rid of me.
What's even better is Hide, Ken's friend, knows that Ken's now a ghoul. Still comes by, still hangs out, treats him the exact same, even starts doing research and keeping his ear to the ground about what's going on in the ghoul world, just so that way he can tell, like, in an assuming conversation with Ken. It's just like, hey, you know, I was reading this book, and pulls out a book. We don't know if he was actually reading about it. He just, like, did research, learned about it, all this stuff. Brought it up to Ken just so that way he knows. He, no matter what, is always looking out for Ken.
And Ken is dense enough that he doesn't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And by the end of season one, he still doesn't know that he knows, that he didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's genuine. I think that the old man's suspicious. I'm not going to lie. Real suspicious. Everyone working in that shop seems to have a story. Somehow, some way.
Yep.
And I really like the allure, the, I don't know if you want to call it like the hidden something. It's just, it feels like you're on the edge of something much bigger than yourself. And it makes me think that the old man is connected to the owl somehow, you know, the organization and whatnot.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he was. I would not be surprised if he was.
Yeah. No, just it was. So going back to my original point before we got sidetracked again, just phenomenal writing. Phenomenal. If this was in a book, I'd be hooked.
Well, I mean,
it is. It's in a manga. But I would be hooked. It does not need the amazing animation that it already has. You know what I mean? Like, it is. It invokes emotion. It brings you personal despair while you're watching it. Joy, not so much. I mean, I'm hoping eventually it'll lighten up, but it's just a very dark opening season, I guess, for a really good show. So my rating, a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know how you can improve on it, to be perfectly honest. I genuinely don't. 10.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to give it a 10.
I don't expect you to. I'm way too fond of this because my 10 is biased because I saw season 2.
Okay.
And most of season 3. Well, half of season 3. And it goes really well. But go on. I expect out of you probably a 8 or a 9.
I was actually going to go with an 8. Go with an 8. And I'm going with an 8 one because Ken, for the majority of it, just really kind of irked me. Didn't really bring me any joy. I do have a lot of questions. I'm hoping they'll be answered in season 2. I'm hoping, or season 3. So I would love to see how that kind of turns out. I want Ken to actually be a better person, a better character. So they wrote him good. He was really well written, and you saw a part of that kind of come to life at the end of season 1, but it just kind of like the long-term suspense or the long-term building to get him to that point just kind of made me
see. I felt like that was necessary because when I watched season 1 and season 2, I watched them back to back. I didn't realize at the time, as we do now, I didn't realize at the time that they were two separate seasons. I thought it was just one 24 episode thing. And the slow progression makes for excellent pacing. If he got accustomed to one eating people too quickly, I wouldn't have.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. Like him progressing to get used to eating people like too quickly. Okay. I'm talking about the. And I understand why they wrote it in there.
He's emotionally dependent.
Why they wrote him being whiny, why they wrote him yelling, why they wrote him, you know, like having this really hard time and just crying a lot, crying so much, so much. Like, I get why. I could have done with a little bit less crying, a little bit less.
You're perfectly validated in thinking that. Like,
so, but you know, I mean, also, I don't like that they introduced a couple of characters like haphazardly towards the end, especially towards the end. And there's like no information on them. So it totally leaves you reliant on season 2 to get those background stories, if they even come up in season 2.
I don't remember, but we'll watch it. We'll watch
Juzo, Juzo, the white hair kid that has like stitches all over him, like comes in. You see him for a couple of scenes. You know, he's a killer. Slaughters people like no problem. Just came in like a wrecking ball out of nowhere, just like, hey bro, here I am. It's like, right, what's with the stitches everywhere, bro?
Wait till you get to season 2 where the real bromance, let's call it, develops.
All right, well, that's, you know, we'll have season
2 eventually.
So 8 for me, 10 for
rounded
you,
rounded out to an even 9. Not mad at the total. I personally feel it was worth it.
All right.
It held up. Solid 10 for me. Solid 10.
All right. So, my choice for next week.
Lay it on me.
Got a movie.
Okay.
And the movie we're going to watch is actually a Studio Ghibli movie, too.
I like it.
Genres are adventure, fantasy. I would even include maybe just a bit of action, just a pinch, smidge. Not really, but mainly adventure, fantasy. And it's almost 2 hours. This is like an hour and 57 minute movie.
Well, it's not that bad. I was expecting. Okay.
No. Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Why does that sound familiar?
Because it came out 1984, was released in English. It has Patrick Stewart doing one of the voices, maybe. That's why.
If that is possible. So it's Nausicaa Valley of the Wind.
Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. So, well, that's all the time that we have for today. Hope you enjoy this week's choice. If you feel like we missed something, didn't get it right, didn't get anything right, got it all wrong, and you feel like this deserves a 1, not a 10, feel free to let us know. Reach out to us, leave a comment, rating, review, wherever you happen to listen to us. Don't forget to subscribe. If you feel like this content is worth a dollar, please go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/fixyouranimepodcast. Every week we also have bonus content come out with all our episodes. We talk a little bit before, sometimes after each episode. Dollar a month gets you that. And in case you're wondering, we actually pre-record our episodes a week to 2 weeks out. So if you're at that $3 tier, you'll actually get to hear us live record this and get to hear where we're actually at. So until next time, I'm Jack.
God. And I'm Rick, and I will enjoy season two immensely. Later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.